Guys, Rudy C from the LWG here. How you doing? First official episode of the Easy on My Eagles podcast. Bringing it back. If you guys heard the first episode, I used to do this podcast on a different format and a different programming, and now I decided to bring it back. If you don't know, I'm part of another group, the LWG. Check out our podcast, the LWG podcast, on all major podcasting applications. So today, got a lot of stuff going on, guys. Carson Wentz gets a new contract, and the collective bargaining agreement is looking like it's coming up in the year 2020, and players are starting to get told to pretty much prepare for a lockout situation. So let's start with Carson Wentz. So according to ESPN, Carson Wentz signed a four-year, $128 million extension, which includes over $107 million guaranteed money, which can go up to $144 million with incentives. To add to this, Carson Wentz is currently under contract for the year 2019 and a 2020. So in reality, what this does is it actually makes it a six-year deal worth $158 million. Now, a lot of people are actually upset about this. I'll get a little bit more into the details of how it does in comparisons for other players in the NFL. But, you know, a lot of people are getting upset because he's actually looking to make an average of $32 million over the next 4 years. Averages $32 million over the four new years and $26 million over the next six. So really what this really does actually is a breakdown about $26 million over the course of the 6 years. Now, a lot of people are upset about this because Carson Wentz is actually, you know, he's been injured a couple of years, hasn't really won anything in the playoffs. And, you know, there's a lot of concern here as to why the Eagles would even have done this in reality in the first place with such urgency. Because there's a lot of other players that still need to get paid. You got Dak Prescott from the Cowboys, who still needs to get paid, and Jared Goff from the Rams, who was actually the number one pick over Carson. So, personally, I think Howie Roseman did an amazing job here. When you really look at it, right, and I keep telling this to people, and people keep looking at me like I'm crazy, the salary cap goes up every year. The salary cap goes up a couple million every year. And from what I've seen, let's say the salary cap goes up like maybe 5-6 million every year. A good chunk of that is actually going to be going to quarterbacks for their guaranteed money. So what Howie Roseman did actually, by locking him into this year and by spreading him out over a six-year period, he gets him at like a $26 million price point. Now you have other quarterbacks. I'll go through right now. Russell Wilson actually just signed a big deal, $140 million, the $35 million per year, and $107 fully guaranteed. So you see Russell Wilson, and granted he has a Super Bowl win and whatnot, he's got this deal with $35 million per year. So that means his salary cap hit against the team is going to be much larger. Now, if you wait to sign a quarterback, let's say the Eagles would have waited the 2 years that were happening, right? Because in reality, the rookie contract is 4 years, and then every first-round pick gets a fifth-year option. Fifth-year option automatically pushes them up to, I think, like $20 million or so in that fifth year. But it's a way to hold on to your first-rounder and see if they still pan out and still be willing to pay them. So they took the option out on Carson Wentz. And then they gave him the four-year deal. So in reality, they spread this out and held him to a long-term type of thing. Now, had they waited till his rookie year was over, right? Till the rookie contract was over, and they waited till the extension was over. In reality, what would have happened is that then you have to evaluate his value on the open market. Because at that point, he's got to be compared to other players that have gotten paid at that point, as well as what's going on in the NFL's free agency. So instead of paying him $26 million per year, you know, the way we are now, we could have been paying him $35, $36, $37 million by the time he is done with his rookie contract. So, you know, it actually makes perfect sense because then he takes less of a salary cap hit and we get to pay other players around him to make the team better. So I don't understand why there's so much controversy about it. Just to show you where he kind of falls in line with other people, Aaron Rodgers is getting $134 million with $33 on an average yearly basis. Matt Ryan is $150 million with $30 million per average. Kirk Cousins with the fully guaranteed deal has $84 million value with $28 million per year. And Jimmy Garoppolo, the biggest outlier of them all, is $137 million with about $48.7 million per year. Now, that one is the one that really messes up the market because You're talking about a player who really didn't do anything and then got his contract, and then now he kind of messed up the whole market for everybody as far as teams are concerned, not players. Players actually love this because, you know, they're getting paid more for doing less in reality. So that's kind of where the fuck up is. But, looking at, like I said, Carson Wentz getting signed early is a good thing. We got him under contract. We got him under contract for long term. And 6 years is a long time to evaluate someone. I mean, I think he's, what is he? I think he's like 26. I think he's about 26. So you're talking about having him until he's 32. So you're getting him in his prime years, and then you're getting him to a point where he can probably mature and even get better at the end of the contract. So, and then on top of that, because we're going to go with my next topic now, because the collective bargaining agreement's coming up in 2020, there's a big chance that there's actually going to be a player strike, which is actually the focus of my next topic. So I'm reading an article here. What does it say? Former NFL, as NFL labor negotiations loom over 2019 season, the NFL Players Association is already warning players to save money to prepare for the possible work stoppage in 2021. So pretty much what's happening, right? For those of you who don't know, the collective bargaining agreement is an agreement upon, the NFL teams and the NFL Players Association. These two groups pretty much get together, hash out negotiations for the benefits of the teams and for the benefits of the players. You'll notice if you're into the NBA, a lot of the NBA players actually have a lot of power and authority because there's an equal ground between the players and the owners in the way that they do things. In the NFL, it's not that way. In the NFL, actually, players actually have very little power when it comes to what happens with their contracts, with the team, with their health, it's just they are just very limited in general. And collective bargaining agreements usually happen every so often. They actually don't even happen regularly. So the last collective bargaining agreement that happened, let's see, was 2011. Key features of 2011 collective bargaining agreement: changes in health and safety, including the reduction of number of off-season practices, prohibited two-a-days, and limited the contact that players received, like helmet to helmet contact and things like that. That's also the reason why a lot of players don't have they don't wear pads and everything in the summer. So that's actually the reason. The new CBA also featured increases in players' benefits, including retroactive pensions, increases for retired players, creation of neurological cognitive behavior for players affected by concussions. Also, the agreement promised to increase up to 1.5 million in salary guarantees for injured players, and a new revenue split offering players between 47% and 48% of all revenue. So they got a lot of money. Let's just say, there was a big boost, and there's a big boost as far as the cap is concerned and things like that. But there's still an unbalance when it comes to how much the players are getting and how much the NFL teams are actually getting. You know, I mean, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, and like per year, even if not like way beyond that, depending on the team. And you have quarterbacks who, like I was just saying, early making $35 million a year. Now, granted, that's a lot of money, but those are the most important players on the team. It's a 52-man roster, and the lowest end of the spectrum for these players, some of these guys are making like $200,000, $300,000. I mean, free agents, undrafted free agents that come out of college are really making, about $100,000, $200,000. And a lot of you may think that's a lot, but in reality, when you have to pick up and move and go live where the team is living, and then you're going to be paying rent there. So when you're making that money, it's like having a regular job. And on top of that, there's also more expenses because you're also traveling. Yeah, you travel with the team, but you still are worrying about food out there. You're worrying about maybe you got to take a car out there to go places, whatever it is. You're still taking care of a lot of things. This collective bargaining, let's see what else happened with this. Changes were also made to contracts related to benefits, with an increase in minimum player salaries and salary cap minimums, including the guarantees of 99% to 95% league-wide spending. A new rookie salary system was implemented by the NFL to limit the spending on first-round draft picks, but the savings were relocated to veterans. In the 2011 collective bargaining agreement, no opt-out clause, and a 10-year term was set to expire in 2020. So a big issue with this is that it was a 10-year deal. So a lot of things happen in 10 years. A lot of things change in 10 years. So as a result, players got locked into this agreement, and a lot of changes happened as a result of those 10 years. I mean, we've seen huge dramatic changes as far as the way revenue streams have increased for the NFL, and we've also seen how big health implementations and things like that have also changed the landscape of how players are affected. I mean, players, and what ended up happening was they pretty much put limitations on what rookies could get signed. Before this collective bargaining agreement, you had rookies that were like the number one pick getting paid $60 million right out the gate when they started on a team. Now, after this, most first round picks make below $20 million over the four years that they're starting. In fact, the number one pick and number two pick usually make about 25 or 26 million over the course of 4 years. So that's the limitations you put on rookies. But the problem is that this collective bargaining agreement actually ended up forcing out veterans at an earlier age because it got to a point where it's like, okay, well, why would I pay a veteran an extra 15, 16, 17 million over the last 3 years of his contract when I can just get a rookie for, $2 million in the second or third round and pay him peanuts for his first 4 years. You get what I mean? So what it really did was kind of it locks in rookies at a lower price point, and it pushes out veterans before their prime is actually really up. That's why you'll see a lot of veterans jump from team to team to team. And a lot of teams now are also not afraid to just let players go in free agency and find something else. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. The strike is actually, pretty big. One of the biggest issues where that comes with the strike is that a lot of the high-end players, the 35 million, 40 million, 20 million, those players have no issue because they're financially set. It's the players I was talking about, the unrestricted free agents and those individuals who are making 100,000, 200,000 and are still having trouble with the finances that are related to the NFL. They're the ones that would end up struggling, the ones that are on the lower end of the spectrum. So when it comes to setting up a strike, that is the issue, is that you have millionaires who are chilling on their money, and you have, people who are just coming to league that have no idea how to spend their money and pretty much go broke and even faster. So then it's going to be a hardship for them. This is also going to have an effect on rookies that year that are coming out of the draft because they're not going to know what the contract negotiations are. They pretty much have no power, and they're pretty much going to fall into a system that's going to be just set for them, either to benefit them or not. And players look like they're a little bit more strict this time around. So it actually looks like players are going to have more of an effect when it comes to what kind of negotiations go on. One of the big topics that's being talked about, the collective bargaining agreement coming up, is they actually want to limit preseason games to two, and they want to extend the season by two games. So pretty much the only benefit I see this, I mean, like, and it's not really a benefit because players' health is always going to be the issue related to it. But the only real benefit that I see is that they're trying to get to a point where they can push the NFL season into President's Day weekend so that su the Super Bowl can be played on President's Day Sunday, and then everybody or a majority of everybody will get that Monday off as a result of President's Day weekend. So it's kind of like that thing everybody's always been talking about where we can get a holiday or let national holiday be the day after the Super Bowl. So by doing this, they'd be able to just kind of push it that way and it'd be fine. But players aren't really going to go for this. Injuries are happening all the time, and adding two games onto it is just going to increase the likelihood of being injured. So there's a lot to digest here, guys. There's a lot to go on with this. I mean, that's a good reason why, from an Eagles standpoint, I'm glad they got Carson Wentz on the contract. From what I heard, there's stipulations as to, his contract related to the collective bargaining agreement and a strike being happening. So we'll see what happens with that, and I'll keep you guys updated if any other changes happen or any other negotiations, because in the next coming years, we're going to see, before the collective bargaining agreement happens, that it comes up again, we're going to see what kind of tactics each side has and what the interest is of each side. So definitely stick around, tune in, and we'll see where that takes us. And like I said, guys, I'm going to be doing this on a regular basis. I'm trying to figure out a scheduling for it, but it might just be when news drops until the regular season starts, where then I'll make it a weekly thing for the 16 or 17 weeks, depending, I mean, bye weeks and everything. So we'll see what happens, guys. Have a great day. Have a great week. And please, please, please take it easy on my Eagles.